Okay, so now that we understand 1 and 2, now we'll understand these verses better. See, there's a misunderstanding that everybody who's a Christian, that immediately God has given them gifts and ministry. That's not true. It's not true. It's only as they're matured and equipped. But that's in God's intention for all mature Christians, is to have ministry and certain gifts. See? But only when they grow up. Therefore, they're unskilled. They can't minister because they don't know what God's will is. And they don't know how to perform, and they don't know what they're called for. Okay? So let's go to 3. For I say through the grace given to me, what grace? The grace as an apostle. He was given much of this insight, which he's revealing to us. That everyone is who among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. The word means to think in the right mind. So what is he saying? That by the grace of God, he's given people certain ability. He's going to show us this, but it's not to make you proud. See, if you get proud because you're gifted, you're not really gifted well. You're still immature and foolish, because that pride causes God to withhold grace. See, when we are given more authority or more ministry, it should make us accountable and responsible. Should not make us proud. So when people get puffed up over their ministry, it's a sure sign they don't really have ministry. Or they're not qualified to use the ministry. You know, that's sort of like having a talent that needs to be buried. See? If you can't use your gift and ministry, then bury it. If you can't use the ministry of the Lord in the right spirit to honor God and do His will, you're better off burying it, because it's going to turn to your evil one day. So God will judge the person for misusing when he was not right. Or what did he say? Many are going to come to me in that day, saying, I prophesied, I cast out devils. Well, that was great. But he's going to say, but you didn't do the will of the Father. And he says, you're lawless and wicked. And he sends them to hell. He wasn't impressed, because they weren't fulfilling verse 1 and 2. See? They thought they were important because I have this gift. See, that's why Paul had to correct the Corinthians. He had to spend a whole chapter dealing with speaking in tongues because they were so foolish and childish. And he even told them, be quiet and pray to yourself and not in the church. See, because they were jumping up and interfering with the minister and rattling on and having emotional hysterias and godding into this. You know? And they thought, well, because they feel this gift coming, they can interrupt everybody. That's to insult the body of Christ. See, it shows they have no maturity. It shows it's not the gift of God moving. He does things decently in order. And when the body of Christ is together, there's authority structure. God always recognizes authority structure. And you can't override and interfere with certain things. And you may be gifted, but if the leadership doesn't recognize it, you better be careful and quiet, because they're the one that's going to answer to God, not you. Okay? So he's telling us that you have to think in the right mind. Okay? If you're a novice, if you're a baby Christian, if you don't understand what you're called for and what your ministry is, then you cannot think soberly. And you cannot have a right opinion of what your ministry is. I can tell you that my ministry here is to teach and exhort. You're going to see two of those ministries of the seven main. And sometimes you're going to hear prophecy if God convicts and disturbs. See? But see, I know what I'm called and what I'm responsible for. So it doesn't make me proud that I can teach and exhort you. It makes me what? That I have to answer to God. As James says, not many of you should be teachers. He meant public teaching there. Though every mature Christian should be able to expound the Word of God. He was saying, not anyone, he said, because we shall receive the stricter judgment and punishment. See? So along with the gifting and along with the accountability, then there's the responsibility. So I'm to think what? In the right mind. The right mind is, then if God has called me to do this, then I will answer to the Lord for what I teach you and how I exhort you. And at the day of judgment and the judgment seat of Christ, I will give an account to Him. And if I don't do it in this life, I might get judged and punished by the Lord. See? So it isn't to make me, oh, I'm special. No, it means I have to answer for more then. those who enter in to expounding on the Word of God to the public and to the church are going to answer more to God. So they better know what they're doing. So I have to think in the right mind, and I have to be careful not to teach or exhort you in something I don't understand and misguide you. I have to warn you against false shepherds. Doesn't matter whether I like doing this. I must do this to deliver my soul. If I let you be deceived by false teachers and false shepherds, God says, then your blood will be on my hands. So it doesn't matter whether you like me warning you or not. I have to warn you. That's part of exhortation. And I'm not going to answer to you. I'm going to answer to God. And if you don't like it, go away. That's one less person I'm accountable for. One less. But if you like it, fine. If you don't like it, fine. Obey the Lord. Find out if it's Scripture. Because that's what you're going to be held accountable for, is what you hear. And if I teach you and you don't listen, and you don't grow, and you don't mature, God's going to hold you accountable for wasting His time and my time. And He's going to say, I gave you more and you didn't listen, so you will answer for more. See, so we're to think in the right mind. That I am called here to teach and exhort you. And I know wherewith I'm called, because I know where the calling came from. I can't stand up here and say, well, I hope I'm a teacher. If I hope I'm a teacher, I should never teach again. It has nothing to do with pride. Has to do with knowledge. When you're spiritually mature in an area, you know the limit that you're called to. But I'm not going to proceed beyond that. And so this is what he's talking about. People are gifted and called by God for different measures of even the same gift. And see, that's God's ability to do this. Okay, notice what he says. We're to think in the right mind. Why? Because God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. You're going to see them when he talks about the equipping and ministries, he always interchanges grace and faith. Grace is by which the means that God does it. He has the right to call and choose and equip. Faith is the ability we have to respond to this. And when he calls us for certain ministries as we mature, he gives us the faith for that. And we can move within that capacity. Okay? And so, see, you learn that. And you don't go beyond your capacity. You don't let people talk you into something God ain't in. I've had people tell me, well, you ought to be teaching every day. I said, God ain't called me to. It doesn't matter whether I'm qualified. Need is not to move me. The Holy Spirit's to move me. I'm not to let you put your burden on me. God may look at me and say, no, he can handle what he's got. You may look at me and say, well, he can handle a lot more. But you don't know me. You may think you know me. See, you may be thinking differently. You don't know my struggles. I don't know yours. You don't know what I have to warfare and fight. And you may be acting as a messenger of Satan by trying to put something on me that God has not put on me. See, that's where we're going to get into when he says, don't judge your brother. You know, don't put something on somebody. Put it on yourself. You know, that's why I tell people, they complain to me, you know, well, we don't see signs and wonders. I said, well, go do it. Well, I think we ought to speak in tongues. I said, well, go raise the dead first, and I'll let you speak in tongues all you want in my meetings. But let me see you raise the dead first. You know, let's use some common sense. See? And then I tell them, and then go raise the dead if it's important to you. I haven't done it. I said, praise the Lord if you raise the dead. He ain't called me to raise the dead yet. Has he called you? So say, be careful. See, so again, you have to bear your own burden before the Lord. And then novices and immature Christians and misguided Christians won't put a trip on you. I don't let people put a trip on me. I let them think what they want to think. You know? And sometimes they think, well, you know, you're just selfish and unloving. Well, I'll answer to God for that. And you may answer to God for more for attacking me. So I don't let it. I leave them alone. We all shall stand for our ministry and judge. Let God do that. Don't play the Holy Spirit with people. I don't believe in that. You know, you don't have to explain yourself. If God equips you, you are gifted for that and no more. And it doesn't matter what other people think, whatever other people want. You know, you do what God tells you to do. See, and you can learn that as you follow the Lord. And see, it disturbs people because they'll try to move you and God's not moving you. They think they know better than the Holy Spirit does. Sometimes God knows us a little better than God does, than people do. And so he says, no, you just do this. You don't worry with them. If it's so important to them, let them do it. If they feel so burdened, let them do it. And see, that's what we have to do. But see, until you understand what God's doing with you, then you don't have faith for your calling. See? You don't have to go running around looking for people to tell you what your ministry is. If you don't know what it is, you ain't got it. All you'll have is people confirming a lie to you. If the Holy Spirit hasn't gifted you, then stay out of it. Nobody's going to give you anything. It's going to be between you and God. He'll confirm the truth and he'll encourage, but he ain't going to impart nothing. No one else is going to impart nothing to you. It's going to be between you and God. Okay. Think in the right mind as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Okay? So see, in my particular category, then I have a measure of faith that I can teach and exhort. And I can only prophesy as he inspires. I can't prophesy at will. Okay, we all prophesy in general when we speak the word of God. But I can't convict you of sin, even quoting scripture to you. The Holy Spirit will have to do that. But I can exhort you and teach you and give you instruction. And even if it's not inspired, you can learn from that because it's truth. And it's the foundation of truth. So again, we're gifted differently. But again, it's as we mature. You have to know and be assured of where your responsibility lies and only move in that area. You can't go to a church and tell the preacher how to run his church. And we're talking about a true preacher. We're not talking about professing carnal, backslidden, and false shepherds. We're not even into that. That pastor is accountable to God for what goes on in his church. Doesn't matter if you or I are 10 times more spiritual than him. God ain't going to hold you accountable. He's going to hold that pastor accountable. Isn't that wonderful? You know? And just because you see and you discern, and spiritually mature Christians do, that does not qualify you to run other people's ministries or to correct everybody. So again, don't play the Holy Spirit. Be careful what you share, what you don't share. Knowledge puffs up, Paul said, but wisdom will keep you from getting puffed up. You'll know when to speak and when not to, and when to share wisdom and when not to share wisdom. Okay, let's move on. So faith and grace, I'll give you something simple. When God gives faith and grace for ministry, he gives grace and a measure of faith according to a person's spiritual capacity. Got that? It means whatever they are. If they're matured at a certain level, then he can possibly trust them at a certain level and no more. And then he gives the gift and the ministry for a particular task. He gives faith for that particular task that he's calling that person for. You see, that's where it comes from. Then we understand faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of the Lord. So I can only move in a faith that when I teach you and exhort you, that when I come and do this, that I can have faith that God is going to reprove and enlighten and convict. Because my common rational service to the Lord says, then why am I doing this if he's not going to do this? If he's called me to do this, then he says, then there must be some consequences of this. So whatever your ministry is, God gives it according to your maturity and what he's gifted you for. And again, you can't go beyond that. It's the flesh then. You're moving in the natural man. Don't try to exercise something that God has not called. When I hear people say, let's prophesy by faith, we're going to get into what that doesn't mean you close your eyes and whatever comes to your mind, you start talking. That's gibberish and foolishness. See? That's foolishness. Not true prophecy. That's stupid. Again, they're saying, all of you can get together and prophesy. Read the context. If you were spiritually mature and understood Scripture, it meant all the prophets in the church would speak. And even then God said, let it be limited by 2 and 3. He didn't say everybody in the whole building could prophesy. See, again, people take one scripture and they run with it. They don't understand what he's talking about. Okay, let's move on. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being members, many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one in another. Now again, you have to take it in the context of verse 1 and 2. He's talking about spiritually mature people. If he's given an illustration of the human body, until your body is grown and proper using, the organs don't function right. And if you are childish and novice and you're the liver, then that person in church is going to be dead in a week because your liver ain't functioning right. So he's given an illustration about the mature body of Christ, that each one of us has a function in the mature for ministry. Again, he's not talking about babes and novices. They're to grow on the milk of the word. Little babies are to suck bottles and poop in their diapers and cry. That's all they have to do and grow. You know, you don't put them in the warfare. You don't teach them how to drive. You know, you don't do any of that, do you? They have to grow and mature. And then when their little brains, which isn't informed properly until they're 10 and 12 years old. At 8 years old, if you've ever dealt with 8 years old, you can talk to them. If you wonder why, a lot of times children, when you talk to them, they have this this delayed response, like people that have been on drugs. You know, there's this delayed, almost like a computer working on something. And see, you know why that is. And a lot of times, you'll see with 6 and 7 and 8 years, you ask them a question and they'll sit there like a moo cow and they'll stare in space for a minute because, see, they're trying to formulate something. And then they answer you. Well, you don't expect that out of an adult that has a good mind, do you? You expect an answer immediately because their brain functions right. But see, an 8-year-old is going to sit there, and you ever notice when you talk to children, you have to give them time to respond. They don't answer immediately. Their brains cannot formulate that quickly. Why? Because their brains aren't mature. Okay? Or they're damaged. And that can happen too. Okay. So he's talking again when he's getting into ministry. You'll see every one of these 7 that he just mentions here, these are for mature people. These are not for novices and babies and a person who just got saved yesterday. You don't see that. Okay? Because they can't discern. They don't even understand the foundations of Christianity, much less how to minister for the Lord. See? Okay. Let me give it something else so it'll make you happy. Go over to 1 Corinthians. We'll talk about gifts. Well, let's get over here a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verses 4 and 6. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. And he can't work gifts and ministry in you if you're a novice, if you're a baby, and you don't know Scripture. He can't do this because you're not spiritually mature. You not only don't understand how to rightly handle the Word of Truth, you don't even know what the Word of Truth is yet. You know, you haven't gone nowhere yet. You know the simple word that saved you and what it means to come to the Lord and you to grow on this word. Okay? So go down to verse 11. But one and the same Spirit, who? The Holy Spirit, works all things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Let me give you a little simple. How can a novice and a baby Christian and a person that doesn't know Scripture, how on earth is he going to know the Holy Spirit's telling him anything? Because the Spirit and the Word agree. How does he know that voice that's talking to him? He ain't going to know it's the Holy Spirit until he knows Scripture and be able to pick the Spirit out. Because the Spirit and the Word always agree. God is not going to call a novice for ministry. That's why Paul didn't put young Christians in the ministry. He says they'll fall under the condemnation of the devil. They will get proud and arrogant and think they're special when they're not special. And because they're not mature, they think they're special before God and they bring judgment on themselves because they're not equipped and they're not qualified. Therefore, I do not believe in children's ministries. They cannot be accountable to, if you cannot be accountable to the Lord by yourself, then you are not mature and you can never be mature. You have to be able to answer to the Lord for what you do and give accountability to God for what you do. And a 4 and a 5-year-old cannot do this. Foolishness. Foolishness. And it's the same when people try to get a person who's just saved and try to send them out to preach the gospel. Foolishness. Foolishness. Okay. So he says, well, the Spirit works and he just gives the gifts. And how do you know what I haven't met anybody that's got a gift that they don't know what the gift is and they've been using it long enough. Something wrong with them. See, they have to understand. I'll give it to you. So you say, well, where are you going to get that one from? All right, go to Ephesians. Because we've been to Ephesians before. Look at chapter 1. Parts of 17 and 18. And he said, in my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, notice he's praying something, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's verses 1 and 2. You understand what God requires of you. That's the beginning. The eyes of your understanding being enlightening. You're spiritually maturing and discerning now what it is to know what is the hope of his calling. He's not only talking about what the Christian call is, this scripture applies to your ministry. Unless you get wisdom from the Lord and you spiritually mature and discern, God can't even tell you what he has and what ministries he wants for you because you're not qualified. You can't discern it. See? You're not mature. You become dull of hearing or you've not grown. So this is what he's talking about. Okay, go back. See, everybody, even a baby Christian and a novice, can do some good things. See, I'm not saying they can't do anything. Everybody can, even the world can do some good deeds. Just don't count much. You know, we can all give and help and be kind to people. Well, that's a part of being a Christian. You don't need no gift for that, do you? That's a part of the fruit of the life of Christ. See, also all Christians can do that. And that's what we should do. And then as we mature and seek the Lord, then he will tell us, you know, we're all MDs. We're all practitioners as Christians. But then he wants us to be specialists. And as we mature, we begin to see the specialties, what he wants us to stress, where our emphasis lies, where God wants us to deal more clearly in a certain facet. See, that's where the measure comes in. That's where the gift comes in. And it's given by God. It's given in measure. And one person teaches one way and one teaches another, but they still teach the truth. And God has them come at different angles. You're like looking at the same diamond, you're just looking at another facet. See? I mean, how many? God still uses personality and who we are. See? Stop trying to change that person's personality. Just make sure it's the truth that's coming forth. If the personality is wicked, that's another story. But I'm saying we are who we are. And our personality and who we are is going to come out in our Christian walk because we're unique and different. In that sense, every one of us is individuals. Okay? And the scripture has nothing wrong with that. God likes blue and he likes red and he likes yellow. And you can like different colors too. See, he created diversities. So there are different giftings and different measures. But the same Holy Spirit that motivates them is to produce the same fruit of the Spirit and the same doctrine. See, however way it comes out. Okay? The flowers are the grow. And it's to bear fruit. And it has to be peaches, apples, and oranges. Just bear some fruit and don't be crab apples and poison weed. So that's basically what we're talking about. Okay. So we have different function. Having then gifts differing according to what? To the grace that is given us. Okay, again, God distributes as he wills. But see, God can look at a person. See, again, it isn't that God decided he wanted you to do this from the foundation of the world. Or you first got saved and God said, I'm going to do this. It's not that case all the time. God sometimes calls certain people for ministry from the beginning, but they're not mature and equipped for it. But he has in his mind what he's going to mold them for. I knew 3 years after I was a Christian what he was going to call me for. Some people never know, but I wasn't matured for that. And sometimes as people are faithful in the ministries they have, there are people who are faithful teachers to the Lord and exhorters. And as they seek God, God could call them to be prophets and apostles when it was not his original intention. But because they were faithful, he can give more. And those who were called were unfaithful, and he took what they had away and judged them. See? So it isn't fixed. See, people can grow in grace, and if they're faithful in little, they can be faithful in much. And sometimes God gives people just this and that to see how they'll handle it. And if he gives you something, you get all puffed up, and the Lord says, oh, my Lord, I can't give them nothing else because this is destroying them as it is. You know, how can I give them anything else when they're too proud over this little thing I've given them here? See, he's rational. God, again, doesn't close his eyes and pick into a grab bag and say, oh, I think I'll use this idiot and let them be an apostle. You don't work that way. As people mature and as they yield to the working of the Holy Spirit, then he can gift them more and give them certain things and clarify more what he requires of them. Some people never seem to go deep with God. Their whole Christian walk is never knowing too much because they're not mature. They're up and down and back and forth, and some of them make it and some of them don't. They waste God's time, and God gets weary with it. And God gives them second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth best because they didn't obey him when he tried 1, 2, and 3. If God called some people and he wanted them to be apostles and prophets and evangelists, and they wasted his time and backslid, and they came back to the Lord 30 years later, and they only got 2 years to live, he ain't going to call them to be an apostle. I can guarantee you that. Because it'll take years to mold them. He can't do that. You see what I'm saying? You can't be 95 years old, one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel, and think God's going to make you a Moses in the next 3 months you got to live. Use some common sense. Even God's rational. He took Paul aside. He separated Paul from his womb and had decided to call him to be an apostle, and it took 15 and 17 years to mold him. And he was a teacher and an exhorter, and it wasn't for years before he was called to the apostolic ministry, even though God had planned it. But it was because he kept obeying God that God says, okay, then I can unfold my plan, what I plan to do. And if you don't, then he says, then you're marred in my hand and I'll give you something else. And I can't use you for what I intended because I need time to mold you into what I intended. See, all spiritual gifts are dependent on our spiritual maturity and how we walk with God and how he can learn to trust us. God just doesn't drop things on people's heads. Doesn't work that way. Okay, so the gifts are according to what grace? God's distributing. God ultimately decides what he will give and what he will not, and under what terms he will do it. And then again, the responsibility goes along with it. See, God told the deacons. He actually said to deacons, which is one of the ministries here, he said, if you desire to be a shepherd or a deacon, or an elder, that's what they were. Paul said, you desire a good thing. And then he told you the qualifications. He was saying what? That every mature Christian could fulfill this office. You know? But everybody doesn't decide to be an apostle or a prophet. They have to be called. See, there are certain areas, he said, if you mature as a Christian, then I'll let you be an elder. I'll let you shepherd. If you meet the qualifications, you see? And then you go and study the qualifications, then you see a lot of them shouldn't be ministering. Because they had to be mature. They had to be holy. They had not to love money. They couldn't have the burdens weighing them down. They had to rule their own house. Their wife couldn't be ruling them. See, they had to be qualified. Didn't matter how smart they were and how much they knew Scripture. If they didn't meet those qualifications, then they weren't qualified. See? Your knowledge doesn't qualify you. That's just a place. You need knowledge. You know? Do you meet the qualifications that God calls? You know? So again, we have to understand that the Holy Spirit decides this ultimately. And we have to fulfill the conditions of this and be responsible if he does call us. Okay, having gifts that differ according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. Now, in this next one, he's going to name 7. And it's only the first one he's going to mention faith. And there's a reason for this. He said, if we have the gift of prophecy or what it means, he says, then let us use it according to the proportion of faith that is given. Why he only uses it here basically is because a person cannot prophesy at will as a person can teach and minister and exhort. Christians can do that at will. And we can hope God inspires it, but even if he doesn't, it's sound doctrine. Sound doctrine can be systematic and boring as long as it's still the truth. It's when the Spirit motivates us sometimes, he can stir us up. Doctrine sometimes has to be studied. It isn't thrilling. It's, you just have to learn it. Your mind has to understand certain principles. But when it comes to prophecy, man does not prophesy at will. He can only prophesy as the Spirit moves him and equips him and illuminates him. So that's why he gives this here. He said, if the person has prophecy, then it's according to the gift of faith God's given him. He will have to get revelation, and God will have to speak to him, and he will have to have the understanding that he's accountable to God for what he utters, and he's going to answer to God if he's wrong. So if he's not sure, he better keep his mouth shut. But if he has faith, and he understands God speaking to him, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, then he can speak the word of God and say, thus saith the Lord. And not, have you ever heard people, I've heard them, and I get up and leave. And I've been in this for 32 years. Someone's get up and say, well, you know, I think the Lord's saying this, and they start jabbering. I say, hey, don't say nothing, just share. If you don't know it's the Lord, keep your mouth shut. But don't you call it a prophecy. One thing to stand up and share a testimony, or you just want to share something. But when you get up and say, this is the Lord speaking through me, you better be at least deceived and believe it is. And that's why in the early church, the prophets only were allowed to speak like this. And if anyone else did, the prophets judged them. What did he say, judge not? No. It said the prophets were to judge them. And if they were wrong, and if a wrong spirit was speaking through them, they were rebuked and told to be quiet. And you sit down. And that is not God talking through you. And you ought to be ashamed of yourself. In the Old Testament, if you spoke prophecy and it wasn't God, they put you to death for it. God has not changed his view about people speaking in his name. See? And then you have these people say, well, just get up and speak whatever comes to your mind. Well, it's a demon speaking to you, and it's a foolish spirit. And Jeremiah said the false prophets speak by their own spirit, and the Lord has said nothing to them. See, that's a lot of this charismatic and Pentecostal prophesying. And for you people on tape, I believe in some charismatic and Pentecostal things, but a lot of it's foolishness. That ain't prophesying by faith, speaking what comes to your mind. The Spirit says the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. It means every word they utter, if they're wrong, God will judge them for it. They better know what they're saying. And they better know, because God's going to hold them accountable. And the teacher better know what he's teaching, because God's going to hold him accountable for what he teaches. And if he misleads people into hell, he's going to hell with them. And if he teaches false doctrine, and he doesn't reprove and expose false teachers, he's false himself. I didn't say that. The Word of God said it. You know? So we need to get back to Scripture. Okay, so prophecy. Men speak prophetically as the Spirit moves them. It means they are illuminated and they speak the mind of Christ. Preaching and teaching and exhorting often become prophecy. Sometime I can be teaching and exhorting you. And it may not, and everybody in here can sit and say, yeah, that's true because of this and that's true because of that. Yet there could be one person in here and the Holy Spirit could pierce them with the sword and they know that's God dealing with them. And they don't care about whoever else is getting anything. They say, God convicted me, or God edified me, or that was for me. Say, in a sense thing, that was prophecy for you. Saying God has the right to do that. And yet he can shut the ears of others who aren't right, and they won't hear nothing. Isn't it astounding? When Jesus, remember when he was acceptable to the Lord, he was well-pleasing, and the Father spoke from heaven and said, what? This is my Son in whom I'm well-pleased. And it's an astounding thing. I used to read this, and it puzzled me, and all of a sudden the light went on. It said, and some of the people thought it thundered. And some of the people thought an angel spoke. But some heard the word that said, this is my Son in whom I'm well-pleased. But everybody didn't hear the same thing. But God still spoke, didn't he? The ones who thought it thundered, they didn't hear. They heard a noise, but the word was not clear, because God didn't want them hearing it. But there were some who were spiritually perceptive, and they heard what he said. See, the Pharisees couldn't have heard it. He didn't want them to hear it. He didn't give no testimony to them. Why? Because God said to Jesus, go and blind them so they can't see, and stop their ears so they can't understand. And then Jesus could look over to Peter and say, you know, who am I? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't tell you this. He said, I didn't tell you this. He said, my Father revealed this to you. So that's what prophecy does. It will pierce you when everybody else isn't disturbed. It can edify you when nobody else gets anything. See, that's God's right. So again, that's by God's order, not by man. But when we teach and when we exhort and admonish, we should hope at times that God prophesies through us, whether we know it or not. Because that's what he'll do. True preaching, when it convicts people of sin and they repent, is prophesying. The secrets of their hearts, Paul said, the prophet reveals the secrets of their heart, their sin, and they fall down and say, God is in you. That's what it means. That when the prophets speak under inspiration, people are convicted of sin and they can get saved. Because the Spirit has removed the veil and showed them what they are if they won't fight it. See, that's what true prophesying is. It isn't always, thus saith the Lord. The word of God, Peter said, all of this is a sure word of prophecy. This has more validation than any personal prophecy that anybody could ever utter. This has to judge every other prophecy. You can't say that about personal prophecy. And that's why the prophets judged other prophets when they spoke, to make sure they weren't speaking by a lying spirit. Or they weren't speaking out of their own mind. You know, nowadays someone will get up and say, thus saith the Lord, everybody in this meeting is to give $1,000. I can tell you that's a demon of covetous speaking. That's all that is. That's a spirit called the spirit of fleecing. And anybody with common sense and knows Scripture, you don't even need the gift of discerning of spirits. You know, only if you've got a stupid spirit, you couldn't see that. If you know Scripture, you'll know certain things aren't going to happen, and they're not going to be God, because he's already spoken on the subject. Okay? Moving along. Grace. He gives each one, these ministries, prophecy. It's the revealed endowment. That's what the grace does and the gifting is. So God tells you this. So when the prophet speaks, he should be 100% sure he's speaking from God. It's better that he's deceived than he's presumptuous. It's better that he not speak at all. If he's not sure, don't speak. Don't ever speak if you're not sure. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Not you might have heard the Word of God, or you think it's the Word of God. It says he heard the Word of God. And every true prophet in the Old Testament knew it. Because if he missed one time, he was put to death. I bet you they were pretty sure when they spoke, huh? They weren't sitting there thinking, well, I think this is God. Put it this way. Just assume that if you got up and said, thus saith the Lord, if it ain't God, that the Holy Spirit might strike you dead like he did Ananias and Sapphira. Then you might say, well, I better be sure. At least be honestly deceived. God can forgive that. And that's why he set the prophets in the church to do this, that when people did get misguided, or novices presumed to speak, they dealt with them. They didn't say, well, they weren't worried about hurting their feelings. Don't you ever worry about hurting someone's feelings. You worry about insulting the Spirit of grace. Don't you worry about hurting someone's feelings. You deal with it. You honor God before you honor people. See, that's why many pastors have missed God. They're afraid of correcting their flock. Judge not, judge not. They're fools because they don't understand that God's going to hold them accountable for not judging right from wrong in their church. See, that's the danger. See, they didn't understand their equipping. Okay, move on. I thought, boy, this didn't look good. My page changed. It didn't look nothing like what I was reading. Okay. Okay, and if your grace is ministry, let us use this ministry. And actually the word is very close to the same word that's translated, basically, or very similar to the word that's translated deacon for the word ministry. So basically these ministries here too are for the church. They were basically talking about when the church came together. So he's saying that the office of deacons and those who had particular ministries in the church, you know, that they should know what their calling are. Remember, the apostles knew. The apostles, remember, they had problems with the widows. Certain widow Christians from certain countries weren't being treated right. There was a little prejudice there. And so the apostles appointed 7 deacons. Philip and Stephen. Boy, these people were evangelists and cast out devils. They were pretty good deacons, weren't they? But see, they took care of their money, and they started using wisdom on how to take the church's money and who to help and who not. And those were bums they didn't give no money to. And women that were harlots and came to the Lord, they didn't support them. They said, your family takes care of them. Widow women who were intercessors and hospitable while they were Christians, the church took care of them if they had no family. But Paul said, reject all the rest of them. Isn't that interesting? Reject them. Let them take care of themselves. You don't burden the church. See, they were not to fleece the church. Okay, so he's saying if you're called to be a deacon, if you have a ministry in the church, whether it's visiting the sick or hospitalities, then you should pray and be guided by the Spirit in how you do this. Same as counseling and so forth. See, this is where you have to figure, do I counsel this person or do I rebuke them? Do I comfort them or do I spank their butt? You need wisdom. You know? Because let me tell you, there's a lot of parasites out there. And there's a lot of false Christians. And there's a lot of Christians who don't want to grow up. And they need the rod. And they don't need soothing words. And so you need to know the Spirit's guidance. Some people need a swift kick in the butt spiritually. And some need comforting. And you need to know the difference. Or these people will run around and wear you out. Okay? See, so you need a gift. And so you need to counsel the Lord. Who do I deal with at times? Who do I shun and say, no, it's not, I'm not the one to deal with this? You know? And so, see, again, that's what ministry was. Then he says, he who teaches, then let him minister his teaching. Well, how is he to do that? Well, the Scripture has already spoken. Paul told Titus and he told Timothy, you know, commit these teachings that we've given you, the epistles and the Word of God, to men who are able, faithful men who are able to teach. Well, you're not able to teach if you're not able to learn. You're not able to teach if you're not mature. Isn't that what Hebrews said? You ought to be teachers, but you're not. So he's saying what? According to your gift and your understanding of Scripture and your maturity is the level you can teach. You know? And that's your gift. You know, you can move within that. You may have the gift to teach one-on-one, and you may feel comfortable counseling and teaching and exhorting one-on-one. But you may be totally out of place if you thought you had to stand before 100 or 200 or 300 people, and God could gift you, but he may not. He may say, no, that I didn't call you for that. You deal here what I've given you. You deal within the area I've gifted you. So again, in some, he's called to public ministry. And then they'll look at James and say, then I have to understand when I enter this that I'm going to be called under a stricter judgment than the normal Christian that knows the Word of God. That people's blood's going to be on my hand more so than it ever would. So I better be careful. I better know God's Word, and I better communicate it properly. And I better not misrepresent the Lord or His Word. He that exhorts on exhortation, the word is Christians that are mature, Paul said, are able. Maybe I ought to go to that. Well, I won't because it's in Romans. But I'll just paraphrase. He says, he commended them. He said, because you are able to admonish one another. See, a sign of Christian maturity. Now, see, the person who has the prophetic ministry, which isn't really hardly mentioned properly, he is a teacher. So is an apostle. He is an exhorter. But there are people who are exhorters and teachers who are not prophets and apostles and evangelists. Remember, we talked about that before. If you're higher up, if you're an apostle or a prophet or evangelist, you can do any of those others under you. Every apostle, every prophet, every evangelist has to be able to teach the Word of God. But every teacher does not have to be an evangelist or a prophet. See? 1 minute. Okay, we'll close for this week. So again, he's saying what? Then let him exhort. We'll get into next time, go a little further, what exhortation is. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, for it is true, and it is sound, and it divides between truth and error, and it matures and corrects. It's the washing of the word that renews our mind. It's the word of God that becomes a lamp unto our feet. It becomes our light. It instructs us into the deep things of God. You said, Lord, that you honor your word above all your names because your word reveals your names and declares who you are and what you're like. And the Spirit of truth inspired the prophets and the apostles to write the Word of God. And He's the same Holy Spirit who dwells in the believer and will show us the truth and guide us into all truth. So we thank You, Lord, that You, by Your mercies, have given us the Word of truth, that we can grow by it and mature. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.